But we must learn how to embrace pressure. One sure thing that would help us to attain excellence and achieve progress is pressure. If you don't want to experience pressure in different areas of your life, you may not attain the progress that you really expect to attain. There is excellence attached to that which you carry inside, but it will never show forth until there is pressure at work. So it's important we understand pressure and its place in progress. Don't hate pressure. You must rather embrace pressure. If you want to see progress, there is a positive amount of pressure that you must avail yourself to. May you embrace whatever form of pressure work brings to you so that you will make progress. I see you making progress.
Now, your word in season.
Hallelujah. All right, let's get into the word of God and be blessed. God is a giver and he always wants to give us. The word of God says, if he spared not his son. If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. Hallelujah. Romans 8:32, he says, he that spared not his own son. So God didn't keep back even his own son from us. So he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So appreciate the fact that God is a giver and he gives to his children. All right? Amen. And it's important to understand that he would not hold anything that is good back from you. The Bible says, no good thing would he withhold from them that walk upright. All right? So he wants the best for us and he gives to us. But that also does not remove the fact that we also have a responsibility towards our own lives in becoming all that he wants us to become. And that is what I've been trying to share with you for the last few weeks, so that we do not mistaking grace to be in conflict with work. But then we understand that grace is for work. So the word of God says he giveth more grace. But grace can be in vain or can be frustrated. I hope you are following. Amen. So it's important that we appreciate the fact that God wants to give to us. But do you know that we may not be prepared for what God actually wants to give to us at a point in time? And we should be preparing ourselves all the time, so that we do not blame him for what we do not have as at yet. But then we are ready to go through what we must go through in order to be built up for every given level that he has for us. I hope you are here. Amen. Beautiful. So last Sunday I was sharing with you on embracing pressure. So grace empowers us, but discipline is what helps us to make the most of grace. What did I just say? Grace empowers us, okay, for whatever we have to accomplish. But discipline is what helps us to make the most of grace. So, in discipline, graced Christians may disgrace grace. I hope you can. You see, we may be graced, but indisciplined. Okay? We don't have the discipline that would help us make the most of grace. Okay? So the indisciplined graced Christian, would disgrace grace, because the grace would not produce the results that is expected. Hallelujah. I love Apostle Paul because he helps us by making us know his philosophy of life and ministry. He never hid anything. So if you looked at him and you said, oh, it is God's grace that has made him this, he would say, yes, it's grace. But the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, because I was disciplined to labor more abundantly than they all. So the result you see is not just that I was given grace, but I decided to work with the grace. Does it make sense? Look at somebody and say, every prize has a price. Yeah. When you go to the supermarket or the boutique, you see, you like the things there. No, nobody hates the things in a nice boutique. Quality stuff, huh? Yeah. You pick the shoe, you look at the shoes. I love this shoe. The color, the leather. Oh my goodness. But when you check the sole, you say, another day. Well, I will come again. So it's not how nice the shoe was that made you not like it. The price. So you see, greatness has a price. And I know all of us would love to live and fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul the Apostle brings out something there. And let's look at it whilst we are looking at embracing pressure. 1 Corinthians 9 from verse 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. So he says, look, the race that you are running, there are competitors. There are others running the race, right? But everybody that is running has his attention on the prize. But only one has it. Only one gets it at the end of the race, right? So you don't run as if there is nothing at stake. Run to obtain. Does it make sense? Run to what? Obtain. But how do you run to obtain? Then he gives us the next verse, verse 25. He says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The Olympics is ongoing. France 2024, Paris 2024, something. When you look at some of the ladies running, I asked my wife, would these ladies ever give birth? Oh my God. I said, Charlie, the kind of things they go through. Why? Because they want to obtain medals, crowns. So what we will enjoy eating, they don't enjoy eating. Not that they don't like it, but they have decided to exercise temperance. To exercise engratia. To be disciplined. Not to do what all others are doing, because they have a prize in view. They train so hard. Hey. Goes through pain. Look at someone and ask the person for me. Do you know the pain for your greatness? The pain for your greatness. Do you know most people want the greatness, but they don't want the pain associated with the greatness? See, they are temperate in all things. He says, now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. So my mind is not necessarily on the incorruptible, because that one we are striving for it in Christ. My focus right now is even the corruptible crowns that you must obtain in your work, in whatever you do. I hope you are getting the point. He says they are temperate in all things, disciplined. So if they have to stay awake the whole night, they stay awake the whole night. So it is not just they are graced. Who is not graced? Let's check it. Okay. Are some people blessed more than others? It seems so, isn't it? Yes, please. You are. Yes. You see. Yes, isn't it? But everybody has a certain level of blessing. Everybody. Life in itself is a blessing. So once the person is alive, that's a blessing, isn't it? Breath is a blessing, isn't it? The person has a brain. It's a blessing, isn't it? Yes. But one person's brain throws rubbish in the gutter. One person's brain doesn't. So it is not the fact that they don't have brains. Everybody has brain. But one brain is more developed. Thank you. I don't know if you are. So has every believer been graced in a certain way? Yes. Grace is available and you can take as much as you want. But the discipline. I've been a pastor for some time. Look, until you are a disciplined believer, there are many things you may think that some are luckier. If you will be workier like them, you will be luckier like them. If there's anything called luck, if you are working, if there's anything, any word like that, if you are work, somebody said something, say, oh, you can do everything. You can do, I want to say the right way. What the person wanted to say was that sometimes you would have done everything. Just let grace carry you through. You know such statements? Maybe you have done all that you need to do and it will not amount to anything. Let grace carry you through. Right? So sometimes they tend to say that you can do a lot without anything happening. But then grace comes and it helps you to do the thing. But most of the time, that is not the mind of the one saying it. He actually doesn't want to put in any effort. I pray you will get this. People of God. He says, look, these people who are focused on getting an incorrupt, a corruptible crown, they are temperate in all things. They are disciplined. If I need to stay awake the whole night, I must stay awake. Huh? If I must stop eating something, I must stop eating it because I want to attain whatever I must go through in order to get the crown. I must go through it. Huh? This didn't sound like Paul was just having a holiday because grace had been bestowed. A disciplined life. The next verse, 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So I have a focus. I have a vision ahead of me. Hello? So as I'm running, I'm not running just like that. There's a prize I want to win. Okay? So in life, what are the prizes you are looking for? Are you ready to pay the prices for the prizes? Nobody will pay it for you. Grace empowers you for that. But then the disciplined life you are ready to go through is what would make grace produce the most that you expect. Am I communicating at all? Hallelujah. So, verse 27, listen to Paul. But I keep under my body. So I want this result. If I don't check my body would do things that would hinder me from having the results. I keep under my body. and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a cast away. Give it to us in NIV. May nobody here miss what the Lord has for you because of indiscipline. May you embrace the pressure that you must go through so that you will attain what you must attain. Only two people responded. NIV, please. The last verse. The verse 27. Now I beat my body. Somebody say, I beat my body. I beat my body. I beat my body. And make it my slave. So you don't become a slave to your body. You make your body your slave. So who is he talking to? I beat my body. So the real you is the spirit inside. Okay? But if you are not careful, the flesh would not let you accomplish what you have to accomplish. Because the flesh has what it wants. Is somebody listening? Say, I beat my body and make it my slave. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. May we not be disqualified for any prize ahead of us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, may we not be disqualified for any prize. Hallelujah. So, go through the discipline of your body to do what you must do with the grace that has been bestowed. Okay? So, for example, as a pastor, I know the things that I must do. If I don't discipline my body, I may not do some of them. Okay? You too. Whenever you go to school and you have to get some grades, you need to discipline the body to sit down, to open the book. Else, the body can make you sleep. You will sleep and wake up and go and write nonsense. Not that you did not have the grace to pass the exams, but you were not ready to pay for the. So Paul says, I press toward the mark. I press. It's a pressing. It won't come cheap. The earlier you know that things don't come cheap on this earth, and most of the time, those of us who believe in grace want things cheap. Things don't come cheap. Tell somebody for me so that the person gets it well. Things don't come cheap. We must learn to do what we must do with the grace of God that is made available to us. I keep under my body. Somebody say discipline, discipline, discipline. So the Lord would empower you with grace, but discipline is what will make you make the most of grace. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. Now let's consider one other scripture, then we'll begin to round up for tonight. Philippians chapter 4. You see, in so doing, there's something that we must master. In keeping our body under, there's something that we must master. And in Philippians chapter 4, from verse number 10, Paul the apostle brings another thing to the mind of the Philippians, which I think is important to take note of. Philippians. Now he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me had flourished again. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So what you're saying is that you people had been taking care of me, but you stopped at a point. But I'm grateful to God that that heart has been awakened. Okay? All right. The next verse, verse 11, he says, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. start taking note of something there. Yes, it's wonderful if you give to me. But what I'm telling you right now is not because I'm in want, okay? He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Somebody say content. He says, I have learned this, that whatsoever state that I find myself in, I am content. I am not going to kill myself because I don't have something. When I am in a certain state, I am content. Let's go on. I pray you see this. Because when you are going through pressure, sometimes you may get to a certain place where you think that God is not even there. But you must come to the place. Do you know that when you have plenty, you think it's a sign that God is there? But the moment there is lack, you think God is not there. Oh, how many of you have felt like that before? So the moment you have plenty, and it's almost like there's a lot around you, God is present. The moment there's this kind of scarcity, you feel a bit dry. It's like God has forsaken me. If you don't learn it, most of the time you will feel that God has forsaken you. And that makes embracing pressure very difficult. Oh, I pray you get this. No matter the season you find yourself in, may you learn to be content. Okay, let's go on. Go. The next verse. I know both how to be. You're not minding me. How to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Say, I'm instructed. Both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. There would come seasons of your life where you may not have much. It doesn't mean God is not with you. All right? We must learn to abase. Nobody likes abasing. Abasing is you get to the state where you don't have enough. Sometimes you don't have at all. And if you are not careful, you start binding witches. And you start to blame everything. But that season, it's important to learn that abasing, okay, where you are independent of circumstances, is also important so that you do not start speaking words you are not supposed to speak. And at that time, whatever pressure you need to embrace to go through whatever, you go through it. Because the season will change. Somebody say the season will change. What is Paul saying? He said, I've learned it. I've learned how to abase. I've learned how to suffer need. Where at that moment, I don't go around broadcasting my poverty to make it feel as if God has abandoned me. And I've learned also how to abound. So our lives in Christ, our dependency must not be on what we have or what we do not have, but on Christ. Am I communicating at all? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I have learned. I have learned. I have learned how to be abased and how to abound. The next verse. I'm taking you somewhere. And I'll be up, I'll be through soon. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Sometimes we quote this verse and separate it from what he had been saying before, which is perfect, because you can apply any portion of the scripture to what you want to say. But when you read it from the top, I can do all things, he was making reference to I can abound and I can also abase. So when it gets to the season of your life where you have to abase, you can do all things through Christ. You can abase through Christ who strengthens you. You can celebrate if you want to. So when it gets to the person where you have to go through pressure, come on, quote the scripture. Does it make sense? You know, the word content means self-complacent. It's almost like I have control over myself, that my situation does not control me. Are you following what I'm saying? So now, every given point of your life, never throw your confidence in Christ away, because your confidence may not be in God, but in things, in riches, in money. Don't think that the only people that have confidence or probably put their confidence in money are rich people. People who may not have, their whole trust may also be in money. That is why at their poor state, they don't seek God. Am I communicating? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I pray that your trust will be in God. That in whatever situation, whether you have or you don't have, your confidence is in Christ, not whether you have and you can draw from the bank. Your confidence should not be whether you can draw from the bank, but what you can draw from Christ. Does it make sense? Hallelujah. I pray that your trust will not be in riches or in having plenty, but in whatever situation you will be content. That means your ultimate source of strength is Christ, not anything material. Am I making sense at all? Somebody say amen. Amen. He says, I can do all things through Christ, whether abounding or abasing. Whether I need to go through pressure at a certain moment, I am independent of circumstances. I have learned it. So please learn it. I don't know the season of your life you find yourself right now, but learn it. If it is abasing, don't complain. Abase with glory. Have you abased before? My God. There was a certain time my shoes had holes underneath. It was an abasing moment. Basement. You are the basement. Praise the Lord. Abasement. I think, let me add just this detail, then we'll be out of here for tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I feel like adding this. 1 Timothy 6. Because if we don't learn how to abase, and we always wish to abound, there may be situations of life where we tend to think that God has forsaken us. No. 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 You must be independent of circumstances. Whether you like it or not, seasons will come where you must abase. Okay? And seasons too will come where you will what? Abound. Abound. That season will come. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's read something small there. From verse number 6. Can you do all things? You can do all things. You can go through pressure. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness. Godliness. Having that reverence for God, okay, with contentment, where you are content at every given moment, whether you are abasing or abounding, is great what? Gain. Go, the next verse. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. So, the subject of contentment is important, so that the believer at every given moment does not think he has been forsaken. Hello? But then you embrace whatever the season brings. But then you have your mind on the fact that seasons do change. A season may come, I have to abound. A season may come, I have to what? Abase. Right? You know, I pray for you that you will not disgrace yourself and before your change happens. Because sometimes things can get so intense that if you are not careful, you even beg from people who don't deserve to be begged. And most of the time, before a season change, that season that is bad, no, it hits its peak. So, before it turns, things may be very difficult. And if you are not careful, you will sell your glory before it turns. And now people who don't even deserve to open their mouths to say something to you will begin to talk. Eh? When it is time to abase, go through it. Change will surely come. Because as for the abounding, you will surely... Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's finish reading. I think it's important to read. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So here he lists for us the things that the child of God must pursue. Okay? You will have, money will come to you, but money must not be your aim. Money will surely come to you. I pray that you learn contentment. Whether you are abounding or abasing, you are content. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Things will change. Things will remain the same. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I feel like prophesying on someone. I said things will change. Things will not continue to be the same. In the name of the Lord Jesus. If you are abasing, abase. Things will change. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody shout a living amen. Jump to verse 17. I'm rounding up. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. You know, the moment you have a certain kind of money, is even the way you think start changing. You become high-minded. You become a proud thinker. You think money can do everything. Isn't it? Yes, if you've not had it at a certain level, you may not really understand what I'm saying. But when you start to get it at a certain level, you even think you don't need to pray. You don't even give reverence to the things of God. Because you think money can solve every problem. But there's a warning. He says, warn those that will be rich in this world, not to be high-minded. Not to trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in uncertain riches. He says riches are uncertain. Listen, one sickness can make a very rich person today very poor tomorrow. Just one sickness. So the value of health and peace from God surpasses any kind of riches. I hope you are getting the point. You can be rich one minute, broke the other minute. Because you will buy medication upon, you may sell everything you have to want to keep yourself in health. So value divine health. Is somebody listening to me? So trust in the living God, not in uncertain riches. Why am I bringing this point? At every given moment, whether you have or you don't have, your trust must not be. I pray you hear me. It is not only those that are rich that trust in riches. Most of the time, those that are poor trust in riches more than those that have it. That is why their pursuance is for the. I hope you are getting the point. So having the riches is not what makes you trust in it. You may not even have it, but your trust, your real trust is not in Jehovah. It's in riches. Tap somebody and say, please listen to what Pastor is saying. We'll round up very soon. He says, don't be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in who? The living God. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Trust in the living God. Whether you have it and you are abounding or you are basing, don't trust in anything but trust in the living God. All right? Trust in the living God. Your trust must be in the living God. Say this with me. I will never trust money. I will never trust. Say it with me. I will not put my trust in money. Say it again. I will not put my trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So if even I am abounding, say it, if even I am abounding, my trust is not in riches, but in the living God. When I have to abase, I will not make confessions that are void of faith, because my trust is in the living God. Hallelujah. Verse 18, we are reading to verse 19, then we are done. He says, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Verse 19. Then he says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So these are rich instructions to the rich, and you will be rich. But never put your trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Go home with this thought. No matter how high you rise, you will never trust in riches. Your trust will be in the living God. Your dependency will be on the living God. Amen. And no matter how low you get in the season of abasing, your confession will not be as if God has forsaken you, but you have learned how to abase. So in that moment, your praise must be more, because your trust is in the living God. And I pray for you that as you walk in grace, you'll be disciplined so that grace will be put to work for whatever you must become to be a reality. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Somebody shout a living amen. Amen. Are you going to walk in this wisdom? Amen. Amen. Tap somebody for me and tell the person, you are blessed of God. No matter what you are going through, things will get better. Things will turn. It will not be bad forever. Give praise to God for the blessing of life. Tell the person, if you are abasing, the season will change. You will surely abound. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout a living amen. God bless you. Close your eyes. Let's close your eyes. Close your eyes. God, He takes care of His own. And I speak to you, He will take care of you. Amen. He takes care of His own. Irrespective of the season you find yourself, He takes care of His own. I pray for you that you will not be distracted by the mundane things of this life, but your focus will be in the living God. As you go about your businesses, as you go about the various things in life, may no situation cause you to feel that God has forsaken you or that God does not hear your prayer. Seasons do change. If it is a season to abase, the grace to abase and to trust in God. May you never lose hope. May you never throw away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. May you never lose hope. For the Lord is with thee. May you not disgrace yourself and do things that would cause you to even be ashamed when the seasons turn. May you be strengthened. 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 And I pray for you, when the time of abounding shows up, may you not trust in uncertain riches, but may your trust be in the living God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray the rest of the week, whatever you need to accomplish, the required discipline that you need to subject yourself to, may you not run away from it, but may you embrace the discipline you need to embrace, the pressure it may bring, in order to attain what you must attain. May you not run away from the price you must pay for the prizes ahead of you. May your life be so meaningful because you are ready to pay the price at every given stage of your life. You are blessed. Go with grace and do well. Even in Jesus' mighty name. Let all who believe shout, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you for listening to today's message. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say this short confession after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died, and on the third day, you were raised back to life, and you are alive. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Even from this day forth, precious Spirit of God, help me to live for the Lord all the days of my life. God bless you. If you said that confession, you are a child of God. Make sure you are planted in a church that will raise you in the Word of God, so that you become a tree of righteousness that will bear fruit to the glory of God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with my Pastor Christian. We believe you have been refreshed by the Shepherd's Stream for a glorious living in Christ Jesus. You can get the messages of the man of God, Pastor Christian, on Facebook, Telegram, YouTube, podcast, or Podcast Addict, all at My Pastor Christian or Shepherd's Stream Church. You may also call our helpline for the messages and the books of Pastor Christian, and for pure pastoral counsel and any other inquiry on 0540-953-017. 0540-953-017. We also have the pleasure to invite you to join us in our glorious celebration services this and every Sunday at the Fresh Oil Assembly, Kumasi City Church, KCC, Edum, right opposite the GRA building behind the Ejaba building. My Pastor Christian also comes your way with Shepherd's Stream Prayer Session this and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the church premise at Edum. You can also join in the prayer session via Facebook Live at My Pastor Christian. Come, pray, and experience the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.